Hello, if you're joining me, this is the audio commentary for the webcomic series Kang. It is taking the internet by storm, and this is the audio commentary to fill you in on all the nitty-gritty of Series 1, the pilot series. It is considerably shorter than any other series will be. In fact, it only reaches the 8th installment of the webcomic strip series. To give you, you know, perspective, I'm currently up to installment number 52, which is the end of the second series, which is the Mortal Kombat tournament, the first one. So, really, what the first series intends to do was, all the guys working on it, we were really trying to just lay the groundwork, test out, the temperature of the water, just to feel it out, see how we were going to perform under the pressures of doing a daily series. Sometimes it's easy to take that for granted, but so basically we started with the promo, which everyone saw, which was basically, a sort of mock advertisement for the KRM, which was the Comedy Realm Network, which was just to play to the outworld sort of, and the K's and all that great stuff. And so basically what you have here is it's almost like a pseudo Seinfeld kind of setup. We sort of toyed around a lot with the idea of doing a sitcom kind of thing with Liu Kang being the typical star character, and then having the revolving characters really generate the story. Kung Lao is the best friend, Katana is the ex-girlfriend, and Raiden is sort of the wacky extra who sporadically slides in through the door. But as you will see, the groundwork in Series 1 is laid to start moving toward the Mortal Kombat tournament of the first game, and basically that's where the story goes. But if we start taking a look at the individual series, we can really break this apart and check out the nitty-gritty of it all. Of course, there's a great point, and unfortunately this is typical of any story where there's retroactive history. A character like Kung Lao, for example, who in the games Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, which came out quite some time ago, it is the spin-off series between Deception and Armageddon, and it brings these characters together very strongly and canonically solidifies their relationship as being familiar, even though they sort of come together at the end of the first tournament between the first and the second. This game Shaolin Monks really breaks down the second tournament and lays it out more as a saga than a tournament. And I guess that's a symptom Mortal Kombat has suffered as it tightens up the screws of its story. It means you start, running into certain devices that don't fit quite well. And you have to give the concession for these kinds of games that there is the ladder style tournament. I mean, if you really wanted to break it down, you could look at the first game and say, well, if this is a tournament, why am I fighting every single character? So you sort of run into that as you move through the Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2, Mortal Kombat 3, the revisions. Even Mortal Kombat 4, it's laid out much less as a structured tournament and much more as, a sort of, a saga, a battle. So if we take a look at the first series here, hopefully you've logged out to the Hammer. That is http://secrethammer.blogspot.com. And if you scroll down, look at the archives, you should see underneath the monthly archives, you'll find the link to Kang Series 1. And right now we're looking at Kang Number 1, where the device is here, with that retroactive history, you sort of, Kung Lao is overlooked. And the story is built on Garo, this great Shokun, sort of a half-man, half-dragon beast with four arms, looking pretty gnarly. And basically this guy 500 years ago became Mortal Kombat champion by killing Kung Lao. Now, of course, that is Kung Lao's, this guy's the descendant of that particular Kung Lao. There are two Kung Laos. And Liu Kang, he's related to them by blood, but they're not the same guy. Kung Lao is, is the descendant of Kung Lao. Liu Kang is the descendant of Kung Lao, but he's over to the left. Kung Lao's to the right. And he wears a hat. And you know that I love that hat move. But so you see, we've got the retroactive history. We're also including Bo Aicho, which is the character from Deadly Alliance, the drunken martial arts master. The story being, he could not compete in the first tournament because he is born in Outworld. And if he were to win the tournament, that becomes a victory to Outworld. And of course, this first tournament is built on the premise that they have won 9 through the previous generations. And the laws of Mortal Kombat require only 10 victories. So it's very serious. It's the entry point of the Mortal Kombat series is at the most dire situation. And for the first time in all these decades, this is also the point from which chaos starts to reign. Mortal Kombat 2, the faux tournament, the fake tournament organized by Shao Kahn, developed now as a distraction for his plans of invasion, which are covered in Mortal Kombat 3, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and Mortal Kombat Trilogy, the latter two being revisions that sort of build a stronger version of the story, almost akin to the Street Fighter 2 revisions that added the characters, sped the game up, improved a few things. Basically, that's the situation you have. But going back to Kang number 1, which we're looking at right now, you can see it's kind of absurd almost that Kung Lao would be overlooked in the first tournament. And so we play to that. We poke fun at that. Kung Lao's feeling a little put out, even though Mortal Kombat is bigger than any one individual on. Liu Kang is sympathetic to that. I don't think he really would be, because frankly, I think Liu Kang's, a moron pick. I really don't care for Liu Kang at all. I think he's a little bit smug, to be honest, He's pretty pleased with himself being Mortal Kombat champion, But so we sort of play to that. And it's about that revisionist history. It's really just poking fun at that. And, Mortal Kombat, the series has dug itself into a few holes over time. And you see things like the Deception Conquest, which really negates certain concepts. And there's a whole messy, swirling mass maelstrom of crap surrounding Rain, if you want to take his Armageddon ending seriously. But moving on to Kang number 2, we've just brought that up again. Make sure you're at secrethammer.blogspot.com for all your Kang needs. But here you see, again, this is more absurdist. This is sort of taking the Mortal Kombat world, putting it in a realistic sort of scenario, and sort of poking fun at the you've got these extreme characters, Baraka. Baraka was one of my favorite characters in Mortal Kombat 2. I think he's a great character, underused. But you've got you've got the Mortal Kombat subway from MK3, and basically it's sort of treating the subway as the world. And look, Liu Kang and Kung Lao are heading to the subway, and there's Baraka, and he's street performing, and why not? Why not? If the French can do it, why not Baraka? Ty Cotton. What are you going to do? So he's got a hat there. It's the same kind of hat as Kung Lao. And I'm hoping Kang will span the entire Mortal Kombat story. The difficulty is going to be when we reach Mortal Kombat 4, where it leaves the two dimensions and the digitized sprites are no longer available. A guy posting on the MortalKombatOnline.com boards, Arctic, was kind enough to give me free reign to use any of his custom sprites, but he's only done so much. There are so many characters unaccounted for, so that's going to be interesting. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, whatever that result may garner. But looking here, the Kung Lao hat is hopefully a plot line that we can pick up in the future. It seems like an insignificant thing, and really, if you really want to think about it, you'll probably be able to figure something out of how the hat comes into possession. Maybe not how it comes into possession of Baraka, but still, you might be able to figure out the story of the hat. And not the complexities of the story of the hat, but nonetheless, the story of the hat to take a frame of reference of the story, I almost look at Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I'm not a big science fiction guy. I kind of get a little frustrated with the whole nerd subculture kind of stuff, counterculture sort of thing. But there's some superb storytelling in there when it's not just a bunch of words strung together. And you get a great thing with the falling bowl of petunias and the falling whale. But that bowl of petunias has some grand significance. So maybe that's what we're doing with the hat. It's a throwaway thing now in Kang number 2, but maybe in Kang number 202, we'll pick it up and something interesting will happen there. But there's another thing here. Kun Lao is making reference to, does Barak actually think someone's going to give him coins for his performance art? And I think Baraka really believes in his performance art. He's not very handsome. He's a Tarkatan mutant, so he really has to involve himself in the intellectual and in the artistic. And maybe his grotesqueness is art in itself. He has these big spikes, so you better buy a painting, basically. But so he's out there, he's trying to make an honest living, and these guys are poking fun at him, and we're supposed to take that very lightheartedly and just enjoy it for what it is. I hope I haven't offended any street performers, because that's the last thing I want to do. I myself, accompanied a guy on the street playing the sticks. I'm really proud of that fact. And I feel I can really relate to this. And so it's a little bit of self-deprecating humor, but I've been there. I've been on the streets, man. I'm Mickey from the block, okay? I'm right there with Potsy and Ralph Mouth. We're street, and we're keeping it real. I'm the Fonz. I'm hanging out in the bathroom with the kids, writing on the wall. So I'm down with Baraka doing street performance, and they're poking fun at it. But basically, we just want to. It's a throwaway gag. It's lighthearted, and I really don't want to offend any of my fellow street performers. Certainly, at least of all, the interpretive performance dancers. So I just want to let you know that right away. But there's the throwaway at the end there about T'Pana, and whether or not Liu Kang's karma is good. We're sort of playing from the beginning the idea of going into the Mortal Kombat tournament, but this is just more sort of filling out the ground. I was never a big fan of MK Sprite comic strips. Traditionally, I'm not very fond of them at all. Usually, they play very flat gags, a lot of puns, a lot of visual things that just go over and over and over again. They linger on the same scenario, and I think part of the thing with the Sprite comics is because they're not original pieces of art, you really need to be generating something quick, satisfying, in and out. And actually, I think later in the second series of Kang, that might actually be part of the downfall. The gags fall away, and you fall into this sort of trap of doing the serious story, and it's just not feasible because it's not original artwork. It's got to be about speed and convenience, and really getting in, making your point, getting out, moving on. You don't want to see the same background, strip after strip. And if you go back, hopefully, and once Series 2 has been collected conveniently the way Series 1 has been, hopefully if you read them in succession, it'll be very satisfying, because I made most of them one after the other in a very short space of time. I'm releasing these daily, and it could give the illusion of a lot of work, but it actually is the sum of maybe a one board hour on the computer with Photoshop. So I'm taking a look at Kang 3 now. Hopefully your connection is quick enough to keep up with me. You see, it's Liu Kang, it's Katana, and again, this is sort of a very typical Mortal Kombat style fluff, where at this point I wasn't entirely sure whether I wanted to continue original stories and reference things very casually, playing to the comedic rule that you don't necessarily have to have verisimilitude. You can play with whatever you need, whenever you need. So obviously the first strip makes reference to the first Mortal Kombat, but I considered that maybe I would just make references as I needed to. But so Katana is here with Liu Kang. Of course, at this point, I'm well aware that they should not know each other. Katana should not even be in the picture right now. She is still with Shao Kahn, and depending on your preference, she's either brainwashed, magically under control, or just generally a bit of a bitch, a bit evil by choice, and later on she'll just change her mind, which isn't that unfeasible because she's a woman.